Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and I've been sitting here racking my brain trying to figure out how to introduce you to Scott Walker, to the idea of a huge pop star of the 60s whose music has taken, let's say, the road less traveled, and whose idea of a band includes several potentially deadly instruments.
These machetes we had were enormous. I mean, the blades were about 3 or 4 feet long, and we're talking very big here. So they were heavy, and they could make this kind of noise.
What kind of noise, what kind of song requires several big honkin' machetes? I'm betting only Scott Walker knows, so we'll ask him about it when he joins us from London in just a bit. But don't worry, we're not going to go sending you into pop music's darkest, scariest corner without any kind of preparation. That's why our studio is now full of light.
Ho! Holidelic here. Dropping our own brand of holiday funk in your heart and in your hips.
Sure, some of it might be the disco ball and the strobe lights, but a fair amount of it is coming from Everett Bradley's snowy white light-up Afro wig. Also, the reflections off his glittery platform boots. Everett Bradley's Holidelic is a psychedelic holiday band that's a lot closer to George Clinton's Parliament than it is to Perry Como. Holidelic is celebrating 10 years of wishing you a funky Christmas, and Everett, who's a singer, percussionist, and member of the E Street Band, has brought the group into our studio to play for us. This is one where you're going to want to check out the video on our website at soundcheck.org. Here's Holidelic, live on Soundcheck with Snow Globe.
Christmas funk, a funk upon a time. I tripped, I took a no trip that blew my merry mind. I found myself inside a glitter winter wonderland, where it's carolers made of dirty snow were selling contraband. Carolers singing silent fright like echoes of baby doll cry. Santa was drunk and stalking, stunken, much to my surprise. I found myself in dun and dun around the high. And angels sing, hark, hold on, the flakes are gonna fly. Let it snow up in the glow. You better hold on tight and in time and not let go. Shake it, shake you up to and fro. There's no escaping. Sweaty bed, what a psycho snooze. Grabbed some fruitcake from the fridge, turned on the nightly news. Pelicans on gulping gas, my toy guns make clatter. The reindeer sky is getting thin while Wall Street scrooges get fatter. Republican funks and Democrats fill stockings full of coal. Tiny Tim can't get his shirt, God bless his merry soul. No bread to break at dinner time, no stable food. Sheep, no equal rights for fellow elves. This blizzard's way too deep. Let us know up in the cloud. You better hold on tighter than time and not let go. Shake it, shake you up to and fro. If there's no escaping, waking. Thank you.
That is Everett Bradley's Holidelic, bringing the holiday noise, bringing the holiday funk to our soundcheck studio with a song called Snow Globe, with Keith Golden playing bass, Vinnie Miranda on guitar, Tommy Mandel playing our piano and his keyboards, and Alex Alexander behind the drums, and of course, Everett Bradley towering over them all. Now, Everett.
Yes.
For folks who... can't wait to see the video on our website at soundcheck.org.
Oh, good.
How tall a guy are you without without the enormous platform boots and the huge snow white afro light up wig?
I am a tall 6'1".
Okay. Now you are pretty close to the ceiling here.
Right. We're just trying to raise the roof, you know.
Yeah. I'm amazed you can actually bust a few of those moves in those things you're
Listen,
wearing on your feet.
I honestly, every show I always take at least two spills somewhere.
The wearing of headphones has become a bit of an
yes,
issue for you and some of the bands.
This is a very new thing for Papadelic.
It's never been a problem before. Now, who is Papadelic?
Papadelic is, I guess, the leader of this funk army that we have going here.
How did you... All right, let's take this a step at a time. Which came first, the character of Papadelic or the Holidelic band?
I think the Holidelic band came first. It started with Toy, was a record that I wrote and produced back in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out of my pain from 9/11.
Right.
And after a few years, I brought in Keith and Alex, and they convinced me to go funk on it and turn it into like a P-funk vibe Christmas, and then I came up with the name Holidelic, and then boom, it was born.
Because, you know, when we say psychedelic, you know, people think of the rock of the 60s, but of course the funk music, you mentioned P-funk, Parliament Funkadelic.
Exactly.
I mean, that was pretty psychedelic stuff in the 70s.
Yeah, it was full on.
Did you grow up with that?
I did.
Bootsy Collins
and George myself
Clinton.
Right
yeah.
now. But I did. I owned all those records. I was crazy about George Clinton and all the other fellas here, too.
We
were all crazy about him.
Well, you know, the last time somebody appeared here on Soundcheck in our studio looking anything remotely like they came from the same galaxy as you was Bootsy Collins.
Oh, he was here.
Oh, man, in full Bootsy regalia.
Tell him he owes me some... No, I'm just kidding.
So 10 years ago you started Holidelic.
Yeah.
I guess it's probably slightly different now than it was at the beginning.
Yeah, it has grown and morphed and turned into a big funky monster.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to just keep the monster fed, basically.
So what you mentioned, you know, initially it was kind of like your response to 9/11, which had happened the year before. So was it more of a downer kind of?
Well, I was just trying to lift myself up. And I co-wrote a song with my friend Mike Kyoto. And we wrote a song called I'm Coming Home.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just the beginning of a Christmas song. We wanted to write a Christmas song just to raise our feelings. But it just came so naturally, and I just kept going, and the songs just kept coming and coming, and then all of a sudden Toy was born.
So, and every year you write a new song to add to, was Snow Globe the one you just played for us? Is that
yeah,
this
that's
year's
from
new?
The official Holidelic album, which was released 2010.
Okay.
And I sort of sketched up stuff. I collaborated with Alex and Keith, and we all sort of collaborated together in the studio to come up with the record, and that's when that happened.
We're speaking with Everett Bradley. His Holodelic is here with us in the studio. So your stage persona is Papadelic.
Papadelic!
The snowy white Afro wig with the white Christmas lights, which are on right now, although they can also go blinky, right?
Oh, snap! Y'all ain't ready for this.
Yeah. No, radio isn't quite ready for that yet, Everett. I mentioned before that, you know, you've played with Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band, but you've done a lot of different things. I mean, you play with E Street as a percussionist, right?
Yeah, and I sing backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you did some percussion on one of David Bowie's records some years ago.
Back, yeah, and before I was in the E Street Band, I was with Hall & Oates for 4 years
as a
singer and percussionist. And,
okay,
yeah.
So Holodelic is your opportunity to sort of muscle everybody out of the way and grab that center stage mic for yourself.
it's an all-inclusive celebration for us. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, celebrate all shapes, sizes, colors, beliefs, you know.
Yeah.
We just ask that you come with an open mind, an open heart, and a promise to shake your rump. That's all.
Everett Bradley's Holodelic Snow Globe is this year's edition of the show. They'll be in Hudson, New York, upstate, this Friday at Club Helsinki, and here in New York on Saturday at LPR, Le Poisson Rouge, on Saturday the 22nd. They are here in our studio on Soundcheck today. Why don't we hear, I'm going to guess there's a little DNA from Tchaikovsky in this next piece.
Yeah, just a touch.
The Sugar Rump.
A sprinkle.
The
we'll
Sugar
say.
Rump Fairies. Everett Bradley's Holodelic live on Soundcheck.
Sugar rum, sugar rum. Hands up the sugar dance, not the sugar rum. tasty. Nothing sweeter, a taste of pizza. Tchaikovsky and your rump.
Holodelic, live on Soundcheck with Sugar Rump Fairies. Probably not the way Tchaikovsky drew it up, but actually, knowing what we know of Tchaikovsky, maybe it was exactly what he had in mind.
That's what he meant.
Everett Bradley's Holodelic, live in the Soundcheck studio with Keith Golden on bass, Vinnie Miranda on guitar, Tommy Mandel keyboards, Alex Alexander drums, Everett himself singing and rocking the Afro light-up wig and the glittery platform boots. And now, when you guys play live, it's like a party, right? There's guests, people coming and going.
It's a party. It's like I feel like we're bringing the variety show back.
Right. So who do you have like this year, for example?
Well, coming up in New York City, we got Vernon Reed. We have Janice Siegel from Manhattan Transfer coming in. We have Charlie Giordano, he's the keyboard player from the E Street Band.
Mm-hmm.
Just to name a few.
Nice. So the band is playing the Holodelic Snow Globe Show upstate in Hudson, New York, Friday night at Club Helsinki, back downstate here in New York at Le Poisson Rouge on Saturday night, the 22nd. Everett Bradley's Holodelic here with us in the Soundcheck studio. Do check out the video on our website at soundcheck.org. And Everett, to you and the band, what can I say? Happy holidays. Thank you for bringing the show into the studio
today.
Hey,
thank you for having us. It's been an honor and a pleasure.
This is Soundcheck.
Way, way back in B.C. lived a chosen virgin by the name of Mary of Nazareth. Mary saw an angel with a holy message. Mary, you are pregnant with a son. Mary asked the angel, would a baby daddy? Immaculate conception. Oh my God. Na 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 na.
Up next, at one point, Scott Walker was one of the biggest things in the British pop music scene. Now he writes some of the darkest, creepiest music anywhere. Is it still some species of pop? Well, that's up to you to decide. Later, more music in our studio, this time from the Tennessee native Valerie June. This is Soundcheck.
It's raining today, and I'm just about to forget.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Scott Walker found early success, big success, as part of the Walker Brothers. They were one of the biggest pop acts in the UK in the mid-60s.
That wonderful day we met.
But over the years, Scott Walker has moved further and further from the harsh glare of the pop spotlight and into someplace far darker.
The breaths are still heavy.
His last album, The Drift, came out 5 years ago, and it was a challenging but rewarding effort, which I guess is my way of saying that I liked it, but it scared the bejesus out of me.
Don't worry about it. I always say, don't worry about it. Just listen to it. Don't get any preconceived things.
Okay, well, let's see if we can do that with your new record. Obviously, Scott Walker is with me from a studio in London. And Scott, the new album's called Bish Bosh, a playful, almost offhand-sounding title. But you put the record on, and you hear this.
While plucking feathers from a swan song, spring might gently press its thumbs against your eye.
That sounds neither playful nor offhand. So where does that title, Bish Bosh, come from?
Basically over here, I don't know if it's the same in there, but we have Bish Bosh, which means over here the word sordid or done. And it has kind of an attack to it, which I wanted as well. You know, it's kind of a physical sound. As well, bish over here, in urban slang, they'll say, "dis my bish," meaning this is my bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So it means, and then I use the, of course, the artist Bosch. So it's actually bitch Bosch. So in a sense, the whole album, lyrically anyway, is quite playful with language. So I wanted a kind of introduction to that idea. And
And Hieronymus Bosch and his sort of apocalyptic imagery. So.
Of course. Yeah.
So it really does fit. I mean, everybody talks about how dark a lot of these songs are, but I think a lot of people sort of miss the humor.
Well, I think so, because I find it funny, and you know, and the people that work with me find it funny, but it isn't all on one layer. I mean, it's the songs are on several layers, I hope, and to keep your interest going, that's the way it works. I'm trying to juggle things at once instead of everything going one way, which, you know, is dark, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea, really. So it has a lot of things like that going. It's a bit absurdist, of course, but then that's my sense of humor.
Now, when you talk about the album as, you know, you had this kind of, the words had this sort of big idea behind them, do you generally start writing with the text?
Yes, absolutely. I take the longest time for the text, and because the text will inform me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
The text will let me know what to do musically and every other thing I'm going to do with the album. So it's like getting a good film script. If you get a good film script, you'll get a good film, generally speaking. So that's why I take a lot of time getting that together. Some songs will come fast, of course, but mm-hmm. some of the others, like a big song like Zircon, the middle song, that you have to wait a while for that. And I actually didn't get the song completed, and I didn't find the final piece until I read, about a year later, I read this thing about this dwarf star, brown dwarf star, and then I thought, well, that's what happens to him. That's perfect. That's the perfect ending, and I put that in.
Zircon is a flagpole sitter.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, one of the funny things about the album Bish Bosch is, you know, you give us the texts, which are, as you say, absurdist and dark and all the rest. And then there's this very kind of, for lack of a better word, normal, almost professorial explanation of where some of the things, some of the ideas have come from. And you talk about, you know, flagpole sitting. And the title of the piece is actually SDSS 1416 plus 13B. That is the name of that brown dwarf star, right?
That's right, yes. Uh-huh. Well, I thought with a song like that, you do need some help. And it's kind of fun to have footnotes now and then to get you through it, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I hopefully when people buy the record, they'll buy it on they'll buy it on CD, so they can have the whole package, you know. They can experience the whole thing.
For love, in Yahoo goes like an azoon. IXI, the IXI, I, the I. For the citizen whose joke lays in their hand. I,
from my guest Scott Walker, the singer and composer and songwriter, that's just a little bit of his 22-minute-long piece called SDSS 1416 plus 13B, subtitled Zircon, a Flagpole Sitter. Once again, the title referring to the astronomical name for a brown dwarf star. You say you'd prefer people to actually buy the physical package. Was this recorded? I see a lot of use of the word analog in the end notes. Is this an analog recording?
What it was recorded simultaneously in analog and digital, because we knew, as you know, if you heard the album, that there's a lot of silence here mm-hmm. and there on the album.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't want a lot of tape hiss going on. So at that point, when we got to the mixing stage, we would cut out the analog, and you know, when there were silent bits, and then when everything started up again, we'd turn the analog back on.
So those big, lush, orchestral sounds, that's all glorious analog recording.
That's it, absolutely, yeah.
It seems the storms are seen returning to the rooftops, carrying back their children, clacking like pride pants, loud enough to be heard from Reims to Orleans.
Once again, an excerpt from the lengthy song called Zircon, for short, Scott Walker from the album Bish Bosh. Scott Walker's my guest on Soundcheck. Some songwriters, you know, they'll say, I don't know where this song came from. It just, you know, I mean, Stravinsky said that about Rite of Spring. He didn't know where it came from. He felt like a vessel, you know, it just kind of channeled through him. Then there are other songwriters who kind of really wrestle with their material, and it's almost like a torturous process. Mm. Either of those sound right to you?
Well, it's somewhere down the middle. You know, it begins that way, the torturous process. And then some songs, of course, are easier than others. But, I mean, I'm talking about the songs that are very difficult. And then, of course, you don't know. You will hit spots, and these are spots of total absorption where you don't know where it's come from. You just cannot... You cannot calculate it in any way. It's a very strange process, and those are the best moments. Those are the most thrilling moments, because much of the time, it's going the other way. You know, you're struggling. Hmm. So it's a combination of both, really. It's not only just musically; it's lyrically. You'll hit something and say, "God, that's good," but I don't know how that happened. I don't always believe people when they say that this either, because some people overdo it. They'll say, oh, it all came to me. I don't know how it came. It's some sort of a spiritual connection or something. And to me, that's nonsense. But it does, something does happen at certain points when you're constructing something, and it is mysterious.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you about your style of singing. I mean, very often it's not what we would call traditionally or conventionally melodic. It's almost more intoned or chanted or almost bardic sounding. I mean, where does that sound come from?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's where it gets mysterious, because I think it comes once again, though, from really trying to dress the lyric. Because I'm pitching, although the characters, I don't want to strictly act a character. There are characters in the songs, and some of them are experiencing stress of some kind. So you don't want to pitch a vocal in the wrong place. You've got to pitch it where the lyric is either stressing. So I'm either singing higher than I normally do or lower.
Mm.
So once again, the lyric is dictating everything.
Well, in the song Cor de Blas, there are moments where you really are singing. I mean, we would recognize it as very melodic singing, but even there, you sort of undercut it with the orchestration. There's something that sounds like a dog barking. Is that a violin?
The beginning of the song, no, that was one of the hardest things we had to record. It was so stupid because, you know, there are some difficult noises on there. This is a cuíca. Do you know what a cuíca is?
Oh, yeah, the South American instrument.
That's right.
The string drum.
Yeah, that's right. But to pitch that cuíca, it took us hours because this guy had to keep playing the wonderful percussion over and over until it was absolutely the perfect pitch, you know, because we don't like to pitch change things with computers, you know. Mm-hmm. We like to try and get it. So that took a long time, that cuíca, yeah. So we just really ramped it up in the mix.
Let's hear a little bit of the song, Cor de Blas. This is from the album Bish Bosh. My guest is Scott Walker on Soundcheck.
We'd slosh, we'd slide, we'd cling round the Kellogg's floor. His seven yellow eyes weeping. Da-da-da, da-da-da. From the stick-roast of pain. Da-da-da, da-da-da.
Back off from this rabbit slather. Keep your vile rabbit small and on hand to yourself. Take your turn, choose and wobble.
Cours de Blois, just an excerpt from that lengthy work from Scott Walker from his new record called Bish Bosh. Scott, later in that song, there's a sound that it sounds like a sword being drawn or a knife being sharpened. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, that is, I can't remember, it's at the very end of the song.
Yeah, it's getting very, yes. Towards the
end. I can't remember what we use for that, actually, because later on, on another song, we'll use machetes.
Mm-hmm.
This song, Tar. These machetes we had were enormous. I mean, the blades were about 3 or 4 feet long, and we're talking very big here. So they were heavy, and they could make this kind of noise.
Flat nose whistle goes up ahead.
Well, I mean, we heard this, and for folks who saw the documentary about you called 30 Century Man, we've seen you in action, you know, with the previous album, The Drift, you know, pounding the raw meat to get just the right kind of sound. Are you a perfectionist in the studio?
Well, when it comes to things like that, because you're trying to pull something off that's not been heard before, that's different, that's running through your head, once again, coinciding with the lyric, you've got to go for it. You've got to pull it off. And so we do take time for things like that.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite tracks on the record is the song Epizootics, which sent me scurrying to the dictionary.
Yes. Your scurrying was probably in vain because I was using it. There's been a lot of different ways of describing that, but mm-hmm. I'm strictly playing with that. In the center of that song, there's a lot of hipster slang.
Mm-hmm.
When I came across the word, I thought this would be a wonderful piece of hipster slang. He went, epizootics, you know, kind of. And that's all I was doing there. I wasn't referring, because it can be disease, you know, it can be,
right.
I can be any of those things. I suppose you could put it in there if you wanted to, but that's what I initially meant anyway. It's just a word thing.
So it's a bit of wordplay, kind of a commentary on hipster slang perhaps, but is there also a kind of Hawaiian connection to this song?
Yeah, it starts as a kind of Hawaiian nightmare, really, and then it enters into a kind of idiomatic place when the trumpets come in. The language, I was looking for an idiomatic language that that people could still just about remember, and so I chose the hipster slang to play with.
Let's hear a bit of Epizootics, or are you saying Epizootics?
I say Epizootics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Epizootics from the album Bish Bosh, the latest from my guest Scott Walker on Soundcheck.
Like a face being eaten by a jungle. Slabs of steam tables whiffing of onions and roses. Haunted jacuzzis churn. All night the native bards squealing be flat, like choirs of pigs seeking revenge for stolen sin. Blippers fast blood, that's how we caught the final. Reach this city without sound. Everywhere you turn, bunkers of rubber hoses pronging up off the city's floor.
Epizootics is how we're saying the title of this song from Scott Walker, American-born, longtime based in England. His album called Bish Bosh is out now. Scott, do you refer to yourself as English? You've been there so long at this point.
No, I don't think to myself as anything. I have lived over here since the 60s. My work has been here. All my friends are here now. My family is here, of course. And I voted in the last election, in the American election.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I vote every time.
All right. But England has, I mean, from the Walker Brothers to the current work, England seems to have cottoned on to what you're doing a lot more than us Americans,
Americans. Yes.
Do you see yourself as still part of the pop landscape there in the UK in a strange way?
Yeah, well, I am. I am part of the landscape now. I don't think people think of me as American much here anymore. It's a strange thing. I am starting now to get more American listeners, which is interesting because it's taken on kind of this phase of the music to do it. But I mean, what people tend to say about me is that I write more European than a European does. And even if I'm in France or Germany, I often hear that. So I obviously was drawn to something here when I came, you know, some kind of style that I liked.
Well, were you drawn to the classical avant-garde? Because there does seem to be that influence for sure in what you do.
Yeah, not initially. No, I was drawn because I was a big movie freak, and I when I was living in Hollywood and I was working as a musician there, I would go and see a lot of European films, you know, Bergman's, Fellini's, things like that, and that's what made me come here. What interested me in coming over here?
Right, but of course, you know, you mentioned France and Germany, which were hubs of this kind of modernist classical music, lots of...
I started listening to all kinds of things once I got here. But initially it was films that took me over.
Well, moving to Europe not only brought my guest Scott Walker closer to European filmmakers, but to European songwriters too. He's done a number of recordings of the songs of the legendary Jacques Brel, including this one of Jackie.
And if one day I should become a singer with a Spanish bum who sings for women of great virtue, I'd sing to them with a guitar I borrowed from a coffee bar. Well, what you don't know doesn't hurt you. My name would be Antonio, and all my bridges I would burn. And when I gave them some, they'd know I'd expect something in return. I'd have to get drunk every night and talk about virility with some old grandmama who might be decked out like a Christmas tree. And though pink elephants I'd see, though I'd be drunk as I could be, still I would sing my song to me about the time they called me Shacky. If I could be for only an hour, if I could be for an hour every day.
Jacky. A song by the great 20th century songwriter Jacques Brel in a version by my guest Scott Walker, recorded many years ago, and quite a different sound from his latest album, which is called Bish Bosh. Let me ask you about the final song on the record. It's called The Day the... how do we say this? Conducador?
Conducador, you're right, yeah.
The Day the Conducador Died... the Conducador is the title that Nicolae Ceaușescu of Romania had given himself when he was the ruler of that country. My question is, you've subtitled it an Xmas song. Is that dark sense of humor again, or is there something genuinely Christmassy going on here?
Well, yeah, it's a great Christmas single. No, they were executed.
He and Ceaușescu his wife
on Christmas Day. And of course, I'm playing around there with he was very much a personality cult dictator, rather like, although I don't draw comparisons, but rather like Berlusconi in the present day, you know, when he was, it's all built around personality. So then that's when I started working with a personality test that's also part of that song. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason it's kind of a dark Christmas song, you know.
And in that sense, a pretty good place to leave it. We've been speaking with Scott Walker. His new album is called Bish Bosh. And Scott, it's been a real pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, it's great to hear an American voice. I haven't heard one in a long time.
So. Well, all right. Well, okay. Scott, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Soundcheck.
And nobody waited for fire. Nobody waited for fire. Nobody waited for fire. And nobody waited for fire. Nobody waited for fire. Nobody waited for fire. Most of the chaos in my life.
Up next, roots music from Tennessee by way of Brooklyn. We'll hear a live performance from singer-songwriter Valerie June in our studio. But first, another listener pick drawn from our ongoing 2012 music survey, which is live right now on soundcheck.org. In the favorite album category, Ben from Kew Gardens picks Sun, the first album of new material in 6 years from Cat Power, the artist otherwise known as Sean Marshall. Ben writes, "I've been waiting for anything from Sean Marshall as good as the album You Are Free. I didn't have the highest expectations going into it, but it hooked me with this song, Cherokee."
Marry me to the sky.
That's Cherokee from the latest album by Cat Power. The record's called Sun. Our listener Ben in Kew Gardens picked it as his favorite album of the year in our 2012 survey. You can take the survey too. 8 different categories. It's online at soundcheck.org. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. I'm not much of a surprise kind of guy, surprise parties and stuff like that, but I do like a good musical surprise, and I got one recently listening to the latest record from the bassist and singer Michel Indigeo Cello when this voice unexpectedly came out of the speakers. Turns out this surprise is Valerie June. She's a Tennessee-born, now Brooklyn-based musician who makes what she calls organic moonshine roots music. She recently wrapped up production on her own forthcoming debut album, and she'll join us here in the Soundcheck studio today to play some songs for us. Here, first, is a live performance of her Workin' Woman Blues. It's Valerie June, live on Soundcheck. Thank you.
sugar, my sugar daddy.
Is Valerie June live on Soundcheck with Workin' Woman Blues, which will be on her forthcoming record called Pushin' Against a Stone. Valerie, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's funny, we began with a little bit of you singing the Nina Simone song, Be My Husband, and then you completely subvert that with this song. Opening line, I ain't fit to be no mother, I ain't fit to be no wife.
It's true.
Is it true?
Well, some days it is. Depends on the day. If you've ever been married, you know what I'm talking about.
I have and I do. So now on the record, that song, Workin' Woman Blues, is, you know, it's big production. You got kind of the Stax sounding horn thing going. I assume it probably sounded pretty much like this, though, when you sat down and wrote it, just you and the guitar.
It did. I met some really fabulous musicians in Budapest, Hungary, and they do mostly electronic music. They have a band there, and the way it happened, it was like, okay, I'm sitting with the bass player, and he's like, you know, I kind of want to call my drummer friend over. So he calls in the drummer, and the drummer's like, oh, I love this song, and it's such a great feeling. I've never gotten into musicians, in a room with musicians, and felt so good. And I said, well, there's a guy I know who plays trumpet who was just visiting me in New York. He lives in Budapest. So I said, can I call him? And we called him, and that was it. That's all she wrote. It was awesome. It was so great. We had to record it. I invited them to do a show with me down in Austria at a place called Mojo Music Club, and we had to make a music video on the spot. It took like 30 minutes. It was like, it was truly a magical time, yeah.
So this little song for guitar and voice suddenly, you know, becomes something other because other people want to get involved and,
it's true,
and be a part
it's
of it.
True.
Neat. Now, that's the version that's going to be on the record, Pushing Against a Stone, which is co-produced by Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. So there are a number of textural differences from Girl and Guitar, I guess.
There's a lot of differences. When you hear the whole record, you'll see. It tells such a good story about, you know, just being on a journey towards a dream and how sometimes it's like pushing against a stone, pushing a stone up a mountain. So
now, how is it that, I mean, you're Tennessee-born, you live here in New York, but you're in Budapest, you're in Austria, your record label is in the UK, and you seem to have a much higher profile there. How did that happen?
Well, I met the woman who runs the record label in Paris when I had a show there, and I just seemed to get around, even in meeting Michelle, you know, here in New York.
Yeah,
I just seemed to get around and be in the right place when the universe needs me to be there, I'm there. So I met the lady from the label, and she's just been so awesome, the whole label, Sunday Best, they've been so good, and I've just been invited back to Europe so many times now and having a lot of fun doing that. And I started out traveling when I was a teenager, went to Africa and a few places. So I've just always loved to travel and go as many places as I can. I'm just fortunate I can make my living doing that now.
Well, and you started in a small town in Tennessee. And was the music basically kind of Appalachian country roots music, or were you singing in church as well?
Yes, I was singing in church every Sunday and Wednesday night, and twice on Sundays, morning and night. And where I'm from, Jackson and Humboldt, Tennessee, if you've ever been down I-40 in Tennessee, you go through Memphis or Nashville, and this is the center city. And in Memphis, there's the blues, and in Nashville, there's country music. So I'm a little bit of both, and I come by it naturally. Being from Jackson, I'm halfway between both of those major towns, and it just seemed to be in the water in the Forkadeer River right down the street from where I was raised. It must have been in that water.
But were you also listening to what teenage kids otherwise would have been listening to, you know, at the time, hip-hop and rock and all that kind of stuff?
I was listening to everything. So many different types of music. I was really drawn to songwriters people like John Lennon or Van Morrison. I was drawn to listening to that music and the classic rock radio station in our town where they have like all these classic rock bands playing. I loved listening to that. And of course, many, many gospel songs. Growing up, I learned almost every song in the songbook.
Yeah. So. You know, there are so many great American, especially great American female singers who've come out of the black church, but they seem to have a, how do I put this, more of a belting style of delivery, whereas your voice is almost the opposite of that. It's very kind of, you know, it draws you in. It's kind of an, it doesn't sound like church singing, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here.
Well, I went to two different kinds of churches in the South. I went to a black church when I was young where there was about two or three white people. And then when I got older, about 10 or 11, my family moved to the country. And my parents were like, I'm not driving all the way across town just because I'm black to go to church when the same denomination is right down the street. So we started going to the white church, and we were one of the few families that went there. And I heard the same songs being sung at the white church on Sunday and Wednesdays as I heard the black folks singing. It was just from a different place. In the black church, when I learned to sing there, I learned to sing more like from my lower diaphragm and deeper. And when I was at the white church, I would hear the same exact song, but it was more heady, and it was more like chest type singing and head singing in the back of the throat. So I think I'm just a blend of black and white, and I've always been in the middle of the room as far as the color of my skin. Black folks never really accepted me, and white folks never did. I was too white to be black and too black to be white, but I'm all black. Both of my parents are, so I think my music is just a reflection of that. And sometimes when I get asked questions about being black and music and stuff, I always have to think that black people are so vast and not everybody's alike. There's so many different things to like, and for anybody to think that black people are one way is just crazy to me. I can't imagine it. We're as different as there are individuals.
So. No one would say to a white singer, so... You know. Hip-hop? Really?
Yeah. How'd you start singing soul?
Yeah, right. We're speaking with Valerie June, whose UK debut is called Pushing Against a Stone. That has a set release date for next year. What about the U.S. version?
Well, I'm talking to a few labels now about releasing it in the U.S., and hopefully that'll happen around the same date, coincide with the European. And as for Working Woman Blues, it's the first single that's out, and it's available on my website, and it's available in the U.K. on iTunes and all over, but only on my website here in the States. So,
all right, so that's the song you played for us before. Now, the next song requires you to switch instruments, correct?
Yes.
Somebody to Love. This is not the Queen song.
There's another song called Somebody to Love.
Oh, yeah. Queen had kind of a hit.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on. We said you listen to classic rock radio. You must
have heard. Not Queen much. I probably would recognize it.
You probably would. And also Jefferson Airplane, I'm being reminded from the control room.
My goodness.
Somebody to Love. But this Somebody to Love is a result of you meeting a great legendary figure in Memphis music, right?
I did. I actually wrote the song in my Brooklyn apartment, and I went in for a songwriting session with Booker T. And I was really shy about this song because it's one of the first songs I've written on this little ukulele banjo. So I was shy about it because I didn't know very many chords on it at the time. And I said, Booker, I would like to play you this song right after we had lunch. And it's a new one. And I played it for him. And he was like, oh, my goodness, if you would let me record on that some keys, I would just be so happy. And I said, well, I would love it, too. So we called Kevin Agunis, and he got us in his studio, and we recorded that and another song that we had written together, too. So I'm really grateful that I got to have Booker T play on that.
Wow. Boy, you weren't kidding before when you said you just happened to be in the right place when the universe needs. I mean, Booker T comes in and says, yeah, I want to be on your record.
I love it.
Valerie June is with us on Soundcheck. This song is called Somebody to Love, and she'll play it for us live in the studio on this cute little instrument, the banjo uke, the banjo ukulele. It's Valerie June, live on Soundcheck.
Well, if you're tired and feeling so lonely, you wake up at night thinking that only if you
had somebody, I'd be somebody, somebody to love. Did they tell you there were plenty of fish in the sea, but you're out in the cold and you're feeling empty? Or are you looking for somebody? I'd be somebody, somebody to love. I'd be somebody, and I'd be somebody.
You can hear a longer version of our visit from Valerie June with more music and conversation on our website, soundcheck.org. That's going to do it for Soundcheck today. Tomorrow on the show, New York Times chief classical critic Anthony Tomasini has been writing about musical moments, those passages that just reach out and grab us. He'll join me, along with neuroscientist and author Daniel Levitin, to discuss why these musical moments move us the way they do. Plus, the Oakland hip-hop and funk group The Coup plays songs from their new album called Sorry to Bother You. That's tomorrow evening at 9. Until then, join us online at soundcheck.org for podcasts, videos, my blog, our survey, and more. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.